Hello and welcome to another edition of the podcast. Hello, how are you today? I'm your host, Mitch Corbett, and welcome to another episode. I said another twice. This week we have artist Olivia Baker Byers. She's a fantastic artist outside of Sarnia, Ontario, Canada. She was on a show I worked on called The Art Exchange, and I had to have her on the podcast because she's got talent, she's young, the world is her oyster, and I wanted to kind of break that down in this episode, and we did, and it was one of my favorite conversations. She's a wonderful human being, a wonderful artist, and I want you guys to get to this wonderful conversation. So let's get to the conversation with Olivia Baker Byers. And this is the start of the podcast. Hello, how are you today, guys? I'm here with Olivia Baker Byers, who's an artist based out of Sarnia, Ontario, Canada. You're allowed to drink during the podcast, it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
We're already half in the bag over on the side, so it's all good. So, Olivia, I want to have you on podcast because I think you're a fantastic artist and you're full of youth, and I loved your personality. We had you on the episode of The Art Exchange, which is exclusive to blank and blank, because I'm not going to try and get myself in trouble. But I love the way that you you did your art, because it was full color. You used your imagination and everything. So I know we discussed it on the show that we had, but how did you fall in love with painting and being an artist? Because that's a hard route to go down.
So luckily, or unluckily, whichever way you want to look at it, my parents are pretty much I'll say hippies. They were very much supportive of arts and listening to music. And
being, were your parents Ned Flanders from Simpsons, or
what was that?
Have you ever watched Simpsons, Ned Flanders' parents?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what they are.
Goddamn beatniks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they definitely are a couple of beatniks. So they but they were very I'll say they were the perfect storm. My parents are separated, but the things that they did have in common were definitely art, love for creation, just anything in the realm of creativity, basically. So growing up, every night it was drawing, painting, listening to music, stuff like that. My mom always had craft supplies. It was just a very artsy household. And even my best friend growing up, his family was very artsy too. So even if I left the house and went over there, I was still surrounded by art. So it was everywhere I went, it was influence after influence. And being such an age of development, where it's very formative years around 6, 7, that kind of time, that sort of solidified you're going to do art for the rest of your life.
Well, no, so that's interesting because when you grow up in that environment, a lot of the childhood mentality is to go against the grain, go against what they're being taught. So did you have any resistance to the idea of doing art or anything like that?
I didn't really have resistance to art, but growing up, I won't say I was I recognized that I was a little better than average in art growing up. I would never really want to call myself an artist because I hadn't done what I qualified as making it yet, which was I guess I didn't feel like an artist at the time. I now feel like an artist. I don't think I was ready to be an artist. But growing up, I was always praised for how good I was at art. And I feel like that was almost counteractive because it put so much pressure on me at such a young age to keep getting better at art and to keep following it. So I almost fell out of love with art. And then I've just recently, in the past year or so, gotten back into really wanting to push it as a career. instead of do it as a hobby.
Now, this might be a sound as a weird question, but like, did the pandemic help in that aspect where you fell in love with it because you had, like, you had this full free time sort of thing?
The pandemic was weird because I haven't been completely diagnosed with it yet, but I talked to a psychologist and it's like, I probably am in the realm of having like borderline personality disorder. So it's just a mood disorder where like happy and sad are bad, like, or like really good or really bad, you know, that kind of stuff. Which my mother has it as well. So it also sort of falls
in
line.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
But so dealing with that, like, it's one of those mental illnesses that you sort of prefer your, oh my gosh.
Chester, don't get out of your...
I'd go get my cat, but I don't know where she is.
That's okay. He wants to say hi.
Oh my God.
Anyways, well. Go on, recover. This is Chester Roo. Go on, have your conversation.
Basically, it's one of those, like, obviously I love the people I love, but I also love my own personal time. So the quarantine was like kind of, I don't want to say great, but like I was like, yeah, free time.
But it does seem like a lot of people fucking found themselves like with that space and with that anonymity to like kind of like chase their passions through arts. Like it seemed like as detrimental as it seemed for a lot of people, a majority of people, there are those outliers that it seemed to really benefit.
I feel like it really forced people. It's almost like not to get too extreme because people could still go out for walks and experience nature and stuff like that. Like, but it was almost like being put in solitary confinement in the sense of like, you're supposed to stay away from other people. You're supposed to, you know, stay in your home, not touch anything, don't do anything. It was very everything was super quiet. All you had time to do was think. So
dangerous thing to do.
When you're forced to think and you're not doing anything else other than being surrounded by yourself, you can only think about yourself. Like no outside influence or anything sort of makes you evaluate what you're doing solely, like what you're doing.
So did your concept of art change when you had that time to think? Because like I feel like you kind of were, you like you mentioned how like your mom and dad would kind of push you in some sort of art form, and I'm wondering if that changed while you're in the pandemic, where you had to kind of think for yourself, and like maybe you kind of grew as an artist through that process.
I definitely sort of decided during the pandemic that it was like, I'm just gonna make the kind of stuff that comes into my head. I'm not gonna worry about how people receive it or how people react to it. I'm not really going to care if I sell 1 or 100. Like, I'm literally just gonna put the paint on the canvas and do what I feel like. Whether or not that was because of the quarantine making me reevaluate myself as an artist or not, I can't really be sure, because I feel like I was sort of on this track already. But I definitely think the quarantine maybe sped it up a little bit. Like, yeah. It definitely gave me the time that I needed and just couldn't get otherwise.
And now you're what, in your 20s, right?
I am 24. I turned 25 June
20th. Right. So, like, you got, like, you have experience as an artist, but, like, as an artist, I imagine a lot of art experience comes through life's tragedies and tribulations to kind of get to that mode of where you're like, so like, from a standpoint of being a child of separated parents or divorced parents or like, I mean, has that molded your artistic nature at all or anything, or?
Well, it definitely, and like, I'll say this, but I do want anybody watching.
And the only reason I'm asking is that I've been drinking, so there's no filter. I'm just an FYI.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, like, I love my parents dearly, but I
will. Yeah, no, I mean, no, but like you know, like everyone has their issues with their parents, and like everyone's not always able to admit the issues that they have with their parents, but like sometimes it help benefit the creative aspect of what you're going through, sort of thing.
Yeah. So it was not a nuclear family growing up. Like, it was not necessarily like, and I also know my parents don't know how to use the internet, so they're probably not going to see any of this, so.
So fuck them. Olivia loves you guys. Don't worry. She loves you both. I'm the one being the asshole here.
No. We're both assholes.
I mean, we're both dicks.
Yes.
Bring it back to the show we're going to do later. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, no. So basically, it's one of those things where it's always sort of helped me have a different worldview. And I feel like in art, I don't want to say having an off view of things or a different view of things is necessary, but it definitely helps to at least make some of your stuff more intriguing. Like, I absolutely love landscape pieces. I just did one, and it's like a realistic one. Like, there's nothing otherworldly about it. It's still beautiful. But I wouldn't necessarily consider it my style of art, because I'm more in the realm of, like, I grew up being very inspired by, like, people like Salvador Dali and stuff like that. Like, there's more room for added influence, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I can only take a shoreline or a line of trees so far, while keeping it within the realm of reality.
So let me ask you about this then, because like you seem to kind of have your idea of what your style is, and we did the art exchange where like it was a completely different style of like doing something in terms of art, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you like to challenge yourself, or do you like, because what I found through doing the show is that I feel like a lot of people are like that challenge of like having to do something on the spot, an object, really hindered, but also like opened up their ideas of what creativity could be. So I was wondering if like, do you like that challenge of like trying to do new stuff?
I do really. It's not even necessarily, I don't really consider it a challenge. I more so consider it like a learning opportunity. Excuse me, or like a growth.
Yeah, we've been both drinking. I had to cover one up earlier. It's like, cheers.
I more so think like when we were painting together, I wasn't like, oh my god, I hope mine's better than hers. I was like, I can't wait to see what she does, because she's like going at that canvas over there, but I can't take the time to stop and look at hers, so I gotta keep throwing paint at mine. So it was more so like an exciting, fun experiment. More,
but I mean, do you like that challenge though? Or like, because I find like with the show that we did, I find that a lot of artists struggle with the challenge. Like, I feel like, and I hate to say it, because like as a comedian, like I'm always trying to challenge myself with like new jokes, new material, new boundaries to push, that sort of thing. But with certain artists, I have found that they don't really like the challenge of trying to do something different, if that makes sense. And I'm wondering like why that's a thing. Cause as an artist, I feel like the challenge would be to do new things. Like, I'm very much a Star Trek fan. Like, I want to explore new universes and space planets, that sort of thing.
I feel like it's a fear of failure, because it's like, I used to be where like, I wouldn't want to even do a rough sketch of something because I was so scared of it looking bad. Because after people telling me I do such good work, it's like, how could something come out bad? But then you sort of go past that and realize you used to be really bad at everything you do. You know, like, you used to not be able to walk, and now you can walk everywhere you go. Like, you have to start doing bad learn to do good, you know, like you have to start somewhere. So I think people just need to sort of get past a fear of failure or a fear of,
well, so let me expound upon that idea. Like, I don't think it's possible to fail in art, right? Art is one of those things that's ever growing. Like, If someone says that you're failing at art, that means they're a dick or an asshole. Like, art is so subjective. Like, there's no failures. Like, if
I mean, I
get failure when I perform comedy, when a joke fails, but like, as an artist, it's like, I mean, who's to say what's good or bad? And I hate when people judge art. It's such a subjective thing. Like, I don't think there's failure that can be happened.
I should have tagged you in this because this was the... Luckily, I'm at the stage in my life where I really do not care what other people think of me.
And rock that shit, because fucking it takes you a long way, to be honest.
Like, obviously, I'm going to want to, like, make sure I have basic hygiene, and I'm not going to, like, you know, like, I'm going to take care of crap like that.
Yeah, please take a shower once in a while. That'd be great.
Yeah. So, but I'm not going to, like, get all worried or get my panties in a bunch when somebody comments on something like my art and says that it sucks, like, because people, not everybody's gonna like your stuff. Like, for instance, I should have tagged you in this. I posted two pictures of Bic lighters, and they were sort of in a graffiti-esque style, just quickly, not necessarily quickly done, but in a bold brush style, so it looked quickly done. And I posted it on Marketplace because why not? And somebody goes, this looks like a ninth grader did it. And at first I was gonna like let it go unseen. But then I was like, no. So I said, thank you for your feedback. But I don't give a fuck what you think.
Okay, good. That's why I want the episode to be.
I just really wanted him to know that, like, nobody asked. And then that brought in other people to comment on it about how it should have been better. And then there's artists in the community coming and defending my art. And then, like, even more people coming and attacking those artists. And then And I'm just sitting there like,
why? It's frustrating, right? It's super frustrating.
It was only frustrating because I'm like, okay, I get it. Maybe somebody did, but we don't need to all get frustrated. It's a couple of Bic lighters. Like, let's just.
So, like, what do you think is that, like, that nerve ending in the brain of someone that says, like, oh, I should comment negatively on this, even though I don't participate in this art form. Like, because I truly do not understand it.
I was watching all this happen in the comments section, and I'm not really taking any problem with it. And then I, like, mentioned it to my boyfriend, who, by the way, when we did the art show, I said that one guy who I was talking to.
Yeah.
No, forget him.
Oh, you found a new lover. Oh, fantastic.
I have, and he's absolutely fantastic.
But the other thing you said he was so pretty.
He was pretty. I will give him that. He was pretty on the outside.
Yeah, we found that a few months ago. But anyways, go. So things change, guys. Life progresses as we go.
Yeah, life progresses and it does get better. But so I'm watching all this go and I'm whatever about it. And I mention what's going on to my boyfriend. So he immediately, like, he goes and looks and he's like, you know what these people are? These are people who look at the price and look at the work and are upset that they can't do that and make money off of it. Like, they're just, essentially, they're jealous. And part of me does believe that, but then the other part of me also believes that there's some people who just don't view art the same way artists do. There's just some people who aren't programmed to understand that people have different styles. Like, not everything is going to be a picture perfect landscape or a typical, like, portrait. Like, art's different for everybody. It's like you said, it can't be bad, but it can definitely be subject to opinion. Like,
now let me ask this though, because I've also met artists who think that their shit doesn't stink, sort of thing, or like they think their shit is the be all end all, and they don't respond to abject criticism, right? And like, how do you balance that nature of your artistic journey?
What I take it as is it's not a feeling of like, oh, any publicity is good publicity or any reaction is a good reaction, but art should make you feel something most of the time. Like, if you're
should
making
it make you feel anger though, because sometimes I'm like, depending on the art, I'm like, seriously, what are we doing?
Sometimes. But I think even so, like, art, I feel like if art goes on a canvas and you can look at it and just forget about it, like, I don't know, it's not really, either you're not really like paying attention to the piece, or it's not saying enough.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you this one story, right? So my wife and I are living in Newfoundland, and this is where we're gonna get the discussion about what is art and like how do you judge, right? And so there's art thing, I think it's called the Biennale in Newfoundland, and this woman submitted an art piece where like it was all audio and visual, but the audio and visual was so loud and so disengaging to the audience that were coming through this museum. And when it was brought up to her, like, hey, it's a bit too loud, it's a bit too engaging, we want people to enjoy their visit through the museum, she's like, oh, they're fine. Like, she wasn't taking that feedback of like, hey, maybe people would enjoy it more if it like was just toned down a bit. And to be honest, I saw the art piece and it was just her deconstructing a house, and it was just the sounds of like sledgehammers like on concrete and like just like so like, and I understand what she was going through because I'm a visual medium person, I understand, but like there has to be a certain level of respect between the artist and the audience, I find, when you're interacting with people.
Oh, for sure. Like, I would never... Like, you have to definitely, I'll say, read the room when you're going to be showing something. Like for Art in the Park, I'm going to email them and send them a few pictures because some of my stuff is a little mature and risky. But like, I wouldn't just set up a stall and expect everybody to be fine with what I do. Like, I want to make sure that it's gonna be inclusive for everybody. Like, if I wanted to make an audience specific thing that showcased everything I do, I would set up my own event instead of take up a like a group thing and make it about me, you know.
Let me ask you about that, the confidence level, right? As in terms of like, you know, you've been developed as this artist, you're 24 now, your parents are very supportive, you've obviously had some hiccups along the way, is it one review, is it one person commenting, like where do you get your confidence? Because I always go back to that scene in The Office where like Pam shows her art and then Michael comes in and he's like, oh, this is great, I want to buy it. You know, it's such a sweet and humble moment, but like that encourages her to keep on doing her thing. Like, is it those small moments or is it a big moments? Like, how do you keep on going when, you know, you're as an artist, like you're obviously going to go through so many hurdles.
It is honestly, I will say it is honestly like the small things. Like, even if I post something and somebody like likes the picture, somebody who I don't know, they gain nothing from liking the picture. They are just showing support. Like, that is the cool part about... Because then you know that your art at least speaks to, like, one other person. And that's the coolest feeling ever. But No, it is also, it's the small things, but it's also definitely, like, close to home support, like, my boyfriend thinking I'm, like, he wants to completely support me in moving my art career forward. Like, some people would sort of view the art career as, like, a hobby. He actually sees potential in it. So
is that intimidating to you at all, is having someone so supportive?
It
takes me a big sip of her alcoholic beverage. Like, let me think about this for a second here.
It would be if he was, like, more, like, you know, when on, have you ever, like, seen anything like Toddlers and Tiaras when the moms are, like, supportive, but they're just, like, living their dream through their daughter?
Olivia, I have a life. So no, I've not seen it. Okay. I've heard of them. They horrify me to the end.
But so there's these moms, and they show support by, like,
yelling at a child. I know what it is. Yeah, we don't need to tell people. We don't need to, advertise how horrible these people are. As a podcast, we want to keep it happy and flowing.
There's these shit moms.
Yeah, shit moms. They are shit moms. Let's agree with that. So these shit moms encourage their kids to fucking dress like whores.
Whores. But yeah, no, he's supportive in, like, the, you know, do it at your, like, how you ever feel comfortable doing it, or at your own pace, or just I'll be here for moral support. Like, keep going, babe.
Yeah, but do you have any he's supportive, your parents are supportive, but then you get that one, like, comment that's like, for some reason or another, fucking hits you, and you're like, yeah, son of a bitch. And, like, it kind of, like, takes you back, right? But, like, how do you overcome that thing?
Is it
just, like, knowing that you're a good artist?
I don't necessarily know that I'm a good artist, but I overcome it by, like, realizing that not everything is life or death. Like, that is kind of the thing that I say to myself about everything. Like I used to get super nervous about going to high school in the morning. Like, anxiety through the roof, just could not handle it. But because I used to think it was, like, the end of the world if I would, like, miss a class, or if I would get, like, just poor grades or something like that. But now I'm at a stage in my life where it's like, tomorrow's another day. Like, it's not the end. Like, you're gonna be okay. Settle down. So, like, oh, some guy out of 7 billion people in the world doesn't like my stuff.
Have you found that you've developed a kind of, like, a fuck you attitude by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah. How great is that feeling?
It's really good. It's very, like, liberating. Like, I know I say like a lot, but I don't care.
I'll tell you a story. So, like, I started this podcast in May, I think it was, and I've been putting on, and some guy commented on an episode at the beginning, and he's like, you fat fuck, you should quit. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing a good job. That means I'm succeeding. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there is a measurable talent level where, like, when people shit on you and say, hey, you shouldn't do that, it's like, that's like, oh, that means I should keep on going. If they don't like it, that means you're succeeding, in my opinion.
In my opinion, yes, too, in the sense of, like, what you're doing should be getting a reaction. It shouldn't be, you know, like, you were definitely causing a stir in someone's life.
Good.
Like, I doubt they watched the video and decided to go, oh, you know what? I loved the video, but I'm going to attack him personally. No, they watched the video, saw something they didn't like, didn't want to explain it, so they went after your
report. How dare you have a female on your guest on your podcast, blah, blah, blah. It's like, fuck off, bro.
Okay, yeah. One of those people. Okay.
So let me ask you about that, though, because, like, I mean, like, so I'm part of the comedy community, wrestling community. You're part of the artistic community. How supportive is the artistic community in Sarnia, London, that, like, that region in Canada? Because, I mean, when we had you on the guest on the show, like, you and Kristen had such a great interaction to each other. It was fantastic to see. But is it always like that, or are there a butting of the skulls when it comes to, like, the art community?
As far as I'm concerned, like, there's going to be butting heads in any career that you do, any realm, any club, any whatever that you do. But
sorry, how does that exist in art? Because I feel like art is one of the most supportive, like, ventures you can go down. I don't understand how people can say, oh, I don't like how
I feel like some people probably take praise, like, support a little too far, and I feel like they might let it go to their head a little bit, and they might see their art as the art, and if it's not coming from them, that it's not, you know, up to par with them. So, because I've met a lot of people, a lot of artists who could have that attitude, in my opinion. Like, I view their art as, like, leagues better than mine. But they don't. But I could definitely see, with the amount of support that they get constantly, I could see where that opinion would come from. If somebody were to let that get to them, I could see where someone would get out of control and view their art as, like, the shit that doesn't stink.
So when you see someone else's art, like, are you more along the line of, like, I want to gas this person up instead of gaslight them? Like, are you trying to encourage them to, like, pursue their art? Like, hey, this is very good. Because, like, I with comedy, like, I am always, I'm constantly, like, just because of my life experience, I'm always trying to fucking, like, hey, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a suggestion on this thing? Like, you know, I'm not even a great comedian. I'm just fucking trying to help everyone else, sort of thing.
No, and that's exactly the way I feel, because I still personally don't view myself as, like, an artist. Like, I'm, like, I paint things, and I'm okay. I'm a bit better than average. Like, I'm not. But whenever I see, even if it's, like, whatever I see, if I like it, I'm gonna, like, support it. I'm gonna share it. I'm gonna thumbs up it. I'm gonna, like, whatever I gotta do. And I'm also someone who doesn't really like to give opinions unless they're asked for. Not only because is it, like, don't ask, but, like,
that's why I always ask. Hey, can I give you an idea for your joke? I'm always, like, of the, hey, do you mind? I thought of a thing, like, in comedy specifically. I'm like, do you mind if I ask you? Can I give you some advice on, can I give you, like, I feel like this joke would be emphasized by this. Like, I'm always asking first, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I always feel like an idiot doing it, but at the same time, like, I want to help them. So I don't feel like
I'm an idiot. And, like, I would love that too, because sometimes I see stuff and I'm like, I remember when I was just starting to draw and I was making these same mistakes. Because, like, I follow, like, I have my personal Instagram and then I have my art Instagram. So I follow a lot of, like developed artists. And then I also follow a lot of, like, just early on artists who are just starting to get, like, popularity and whatever. And I see some things that I used to do when I was a young artist that I definitely don't do now. And it's, like, it would be nice to comment, but it's one of those things where it's like they'll learn in time, and unless it's like I've never been compelled to give another artist my opinion without asking.
Yeah,
like I will always say something like, can I like interpret, can I tell you how this comes across to me or whatever like that. I won't say this is what it's supposed to be like and this is what the colors are supposed to be and, you know, this is how you're supposed to draw this line and, like, no, fuck that. Art can be art.
Do those interactions happen often where, like, artists are, like, telling you how, what to do and how to do it sort of thing?
No, I don't. I've never been told how to do something unless, like, we count high school art class. Like, but from, like, other artists, no, I've never been told. It's only been people who are definitely not in the art community who are judgmental about art.
Like, that's such a weird thing. Like, I mean, it's like, so like, I personally feel like I can comment on some art because my wrestling background and my comedy background, my grandfather and mother were huge in the art and everything. But at the same time, I don't know shit. I don't know anything. So, like, what is the artistic community like? Because I've been around a few events where, like, it just seems like it's all love, it's all peace, and it seems like such a cool environment to be a part of. Like, kind of give me an idea of, like, what the artistic community in Sarnia or London or Hamilton or Toronto, because, like, you're trying to get your outward. You're trying to get your art out there and about like, kind of give me an idea of what the art community is like from your experience.
I feel like the art community here, like in Sarnia specifically, especially, is very like everyone is welcome. It's very all walks of life are accepted. Like, you can start, you could be like 65 and decide you want to start painting, and the art community would be like, yeah, you can start it, go for it, like, come on now. But it's just, it's great here because of the support that you do get from the art community, but it's such a small city in general, it's hard to like really branch out. So being where I'm at right now, like, Sarnia is kind of perfect because it's a small community for me to make my name in. The hard part will be expanding past Sarnia eventually.
And so, like, let's, name. Like, because we talked about it on the show, the Art Exchange, hashtag the Art Exchange. but, like, you did mention how you wanted to kind of travel outside of the norms of Sarnia into, like, a city like Hamilton, which is what I suggested, Toronto or sort of thing. Like, have you talked to any fellow artists on how to kind of like get the next step in ladder to get to that level, or are you kind of just like
I've been like keeping something like Toronto or it doesn't even necessarily have to be in Canada. Like, I would love to get my name known in Canada first, because I love Canada, but, you know, like, I could also see about starting in the States, because we are at the border city. Like, there's so many good things about being in Sarnia. Like, I could expand across the bridge, possibly. I could, you know, Michigan, whatever, but as far as asking other people where to go and how to start and what to do, I've sort of held back on that until I make my name in Sarnia. I don't want to.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, stop being stupid and fucking ask people advice. Jesus Christ, Olivia. You got the talent. Fucking go for it. Jesus.
Well, it's hard.
It all it takes is this, a Zoom conversation like, hey, how do I do this thing? Like, honestly, I during that episode, I was like, oh, like, and the way that you drew those two pigs and like the color scheme, like, I was like, oh, this chick has fucking some real talent. Like, you're fucking really good. You have a personality that is engaging. You could fucking do so many different things with it. And I've only had one other podcast where I'm like just encouraging people to chase their art. But like, you have this kind of like fluidity with your art and your personality that you could be so successful if you just don't know if it's like politicking, but like talking to the right people and like kind of like making those connections sort of thing. So like, are you shy about making connections? Is that your
It's just knowing who to talk to. I have no fucking clue. Like, I have no idea what to do. Like, I am perfectly fine making phone calls. I can do that. I can do whatever. But it's just knowing who to call, what numbers to punch in. Like, that's why I want to sort of get a fan base first. So before I go to someone, I can be like, look at all these people who already love me. Like, come on now. So
in my retrospect of like just knowing, and I don't know shit about social media or anything, I just know that people kind of make things and just post them, and if they hit. And I mean, I sent you that did I send you the Kevin Smith stuff?
You did, and I looked at it, but it looked like it's mainly for like film and stuff like that.
No, but he's looking for artists too, like for like a gallery.
Okay, I will send him my stuff then. So right. I looked into it, and I was like, I think this is for, like, cinematography and stuff.
Oh, no, because he is a film... Kevin Smith does Clerks, all that fun stuff. He's a film director. But he's doing this festival where it shows, like just artists in general. And, like, I kind of feel like for someone like you and for someone like me, like, as a comedian, I'm more looking at, like, people like Andrew Schultz, Josh Wolf, like, guys who are established who just release stuff on YouTube for free and they go following that way. And I feel like with your artistry, I'm stumbling over, I'm drunk. with your background in arts, like you just kind of just every festival, every opportunity, like here's my art, fucking take it, do what you want with it, but then it builds that name sort of thing. So like whether it be a Kevin Smith Film Festival where they show a gallery of arts, or where the fuck in Toronto or Hamilton, you just get like, hey, I'm going to submit this, and then you take it, and then like that builds your name up, right?
Yeah.
And then if you get in that festival, right, that is a credit on your account, and those credits build up, and you fucking build that following that way, in my opinion. And that is my unsolicited advice to you as I'm drinking.
No, and it is.
Spartan Press Pills from Fork River.
I do want to do the like festival scene and have like a tent somewhere like at every single event. Like I want to be actively doing selling as well. Like I don't want to just call people and wait for the opportunity. Like I want to be pushing myself.
Yeah, you're so young that you have the opportunity to just fucking go for it too. I mean, you have boundaries, right? I mean, like,
so like that's the beautiful part about sort of like everything opening back up again. Like music festivals are coming back, art shows and stuff are coming back. Just so many more opportunities are coming back, and I've finally like established kind of who I am as an artist. So I think like this year and forward, it's gonna be a whole new game
for I would join every Toronto, Hamilton, fucking Port Huron, Michigan art Facebook thing, and just like if they're having an art show, submit some shit and fucking just go on an adventure.
Yeah, well that's basically,
and they have more stories to tell in this podcast, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm gonna be back.
Yeah, you're gonna be back. Yeah, so like and then you'll have like a nice hat on with like a long cigarette out your fucking
yeah for sure.
Like, well, Mitch, since my arts hits well,
I'm a fur coat
and a new man. He's a lawyer and a professional bodybuilder too, FYI. He wrecks my world some days. It's sometimes we make art in the bedroom.
No, seriously though. The next piece is actually that I'm gonna do is actually sort of related to my boyfriend, because he's really into cars and stuff like that. So I'm gonna do two large pieces. One is going to be a car, one's going to be a motorcycle, and they're going to be sold. And they're not going to be all like funky and
for the show.
Yeah.
We're going to have your boyfriend appear like, hey, that's mine. What is this?
Surprise!
Surprise! Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, wait, that's my... That would be brilliant. We should do that.
Oh, yeah.
How long has been together for?
Hilarious. What was that?
How long has been together for?
So we got together in like the last half of December.
All right, that's too soon. We want to wait 6 months until he's okay with that sort of thing.
Okay.
All right.
He's pretty cool. I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm telling him from a guy's standpoint, it's like, you want to wait six? Yeah, like, kind of like get on camera.
All right. Okay. I will take that advice. Okay.
Yeah. 6 months to a year, you're like, you know, it's for a real thing. 3 months. Yeah. You don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
So, like, I mean, is that like something that you want to do from an artistic standpoint? Let me ask this: Is it nerve wracking to just like how do you choose what you want to do? How do you choose what you want to submit? Like, or are you ready to just be like, fuck it, here's everything, fucking here's all my art, and just hope something hits.
The way I sort of pick what I want to put out there is, would I be okay with somebody seeing this and associating me with it? You know, like, if I'm not 100% satisfied with what I wanted to do, then I just will not, like, I won't shy away from it. If somebody wants to see all my crap art, I'll show it to them, because I keep it, because I sometimes go back to it for old ideas and work on them. But I'm not going to showcase it as what defines me, because if I'm not going to hang it on my wall, I would not expect someone else to hang it on their wall.
See, that's a weird thing for an artist to say, because I feel like every piece you make is made for someone. You just don't know who it's for, right? So, like, I feel like my idea would, if I was an artist, like, be like, I'm going to blast this shit out and someone's going to like it.
And I could do that, but I just wouldn't feel right selling a piece to someone that I'm not 100% happy with, you know? Like, that's, I feel weird. Like I'm ripping
don't
them off.
Don't do that. Fucking just fuck it, man. Yeah, man.
Just sell them just shit. Do
it. Yeah, if someone's going to buy it, that means they like it. Just put it out there. Like, we live in an age where, like, fucking TikTok and Instagram is a thing where people fucking put shit out every single fucking day. And not everyone likes it, but, like, you know what? There's a good portion of people that do like it. So you gotta fucking get on the trend of, like, I'm gonna give people my art regardless of what they like or not, and someone's gonna find it. Because I've seen you draw, I've seen you paint, I know you're good, I know you have the talent, and someone, and I'm a fucking jabroni, I don't know shit from and if I say it's good, though, someone else is gonna find it good, so fucking just do it.
Nice. Okay, yeah. That is a good point. I didn't think about Yeah.
Think about me. Every time you're going to release a painting, like, oh, if this fucking idiot likes it, then someone else will. What is he, a sports fan with Colorado and Bill? Like, what are those?
Nice.
Real books? Real books? Come on. They're biographies. They gotta be. Do you understand what I'm saying to you right now?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I get it.
Like, you really, I, in my opinion, like, from a comedic standpoint, you have, like, this, especially in this day and age, like, if you want to be successful, you really have to, like, if you believe in your art, which I do in my comedy, which you do in your art, just fucking put it out there, and fucking, yeah. If the wind blows the right way, fucking fantastic. If it doesn't, well, fucking, that wind smells is bad. I don't give a shit. But, like, it's more often than not, like, if you have the confidence to fucking believe in yourself and chase that dream, you're gonna fucking find success.
Yeah. No, it is definitely art is not a career for those easily persuaded. Because if you are affected by others' opinions heavily, like, same as comedy, you cannot be worried about who you might offend. The people you're supposed to be worrying about are the people you want to make laugh. You know, you can't be scared of saying things, same way you can't be scared of painting things.
Yeah.
So, like, as long, and comedy itself is an art form because you have to know what to say, when to say, where to say it, when to pause.
And that takes rehearsal and practice and like find that punchline too. I mean, it's
the same way I keep my rough sketches. I'm sure there's plenty of comedians who keep their old stuff, watch it, learn from it. No,
they don't. They don't. They hide it and they bury it because they don't want to see the other stuff. I think the difference is that like a lot of comedians will...
they just forget it ever happened.
Yeah, like they'll try a joke. Like I know I've tried 4 or 5 jokes where like it's just fucking dead on arrival. it just fucking doesn't work at all. But like with an artist, but with a painting or with a sketch, that there is more potential in that. Because like at the same time though, as a comedian in a small comedy community, if you're just doing those jokes in front of just comedians, like it's a hard parameter to...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know for a fact that I cannot talk about racism like that. I've tried. It doesn't work. It just fucking doesn't work. The only joke that I've ever worked out well for me is like when I talk about white people and how racism is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you this one, and maybe we'll get a laugh at you. But it's like, what happens to a racist if they get a tan? Like, do they just wake up in the morning, like, do a Macaulay Culkin, like, ah!
Well, and that's what kills me. Like, nobody, like, everybody dies so hard to get that, like, dark fucking tan. And then usually the people who want to get that dark fucking tan are, like, I've met very racist and white people, and I'm like are you blind? Like,
that's why that joke works so well.
Like,
another one is like, how can a racist be a sports fan? See, you're not a comedian, you laugh at that. That's funny. When I tell that joke in front of comedians, they're like, motherfuckers.
Yeah, because they're upset they didn't think of it, whatever. Yeah, no,
and that's why I want to have, because like our art forms are so different, but they're so similar in the sense that like, I know that you've probably had artists, quote unquote artists, give you feedback, and it was like feedback to hold you back sort of thing. So I was wondering if you ever experienced anything like that.
Honestly, the only time I felt held back was when I was in high school, and it was because the teacher, I don't know, she was super hung up on like realism and stuff like that. Like, just it was very restrictive. Like, you weren't really allowed to think outside the box if it wasn't in the curriculum.
But it's like, art. That's such a weird concept to me, is that it's art and that you had to do one specific thing.
Yeah, like we had to like, the only time there was really, like, an open time for you to be a true artist was, like, when you were sketching at home. Because what they did was they would give you a sketchbook that by the end of the year you had to fill up. And, like, each time, like, each page would be marked, basically. Like, if you had an empty page, it would be no mark kind of thing. So you had to do that. Which at the time I hated rough copies, so that was a really hard thing for me to do. I usually just wanted to do one thing and be done with the piece. But that was the only, like, really open part of the art class, was when you got to just take your sketchbook home and draw whatever you wanted.
Does it bug you that that sort of person is in charge of, like, growing young adult minds in terms of art? Because it would bug me.
It bugs me to a degree, but I also know, like, it's not like, I'm just happy they got someone who was good at art. Like, I saw one of her personal pieces that she did, like, because I took her art class all high school. I had her as the art teacher for all of high school. And I got to learn from grade 9 to grade 12 that it wasn't her blocking me, it was the curriculum that she was forced to teach that was blocking me. Because her art was actually incredible. Like, she did this farm scene And it was like a realistic. It had like two goats under a tree or whatever like that, and a barn and a road in the distance. But it was it almost had like a 3D neon effect. And it was so like simple but out of this world. I was like, that's sick. Is that yours? And she's like, yeah, it's mine. I'm like, hell yeah. So like she was capable of doing some cool shit. But the stuff she was forced to teach because that's her job, it was like, this is how you paint a flower. Like,
Have you ever been able to have a conversation with her outside of that medium of school curriculum?
I sort of did. Basically, because what I did was I took her art class like during the mandatory art courses. I took it as my extracurricular, like where you could pick whatever course you wanted to take. I took another art course. And then for my volunteer hours, I also stayed there during lunches to help clean up the art room and do other art stuff.
What was that experience like? I mean, from kind of like thinking she's kind of like a not supportive person, then like realizing that, like, that's got to be kind of a uplifting experience. And like, did you guys get to have like any real interactions in terms of like showing your art to her?
It was really cool when I started like growing, because when I was first in her art class in grade 9, I was very like, I won't say subdued, but I didn't really like expand, like show my art to a lot of people, because it like I drew like kind of like creepy like eyeballs and stuff like that, and like I still paint headless women and like whatever. So in grade 9, you're like, I don't know how people are going to react to this. But going through, I actually did end up showing her a more personal side of my art, because around grade 12 or whatever, can't remember if it was 11 or 12, but we did also ceramics, and I ended up doing a headless woman, and she thought it was super cool. So it was one of those like uplifting moments of like, oh, someone who's professional thinks this kind of stuff is, you know, okay. So, like, we didn't get together and have coffee on the weekends and stuff like that, but she was pretty cool.
Is there an opportunity that you could maybe reconnect with her and, like, see what?
If I remembered her first name, I remember her last name. Miss Finlayson, St. Clair.
Oh, she's in the record book, so you could fucking reach out to her and see what happens. That would be a cool conversation.
She was real shit. She was awesome.
Yeah. Olivia, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Where can people find you via Instagram, social media, that sort of fun stuff?
So I'm Olivia B Artistry. There, Olivia capital B period Artistry on Facebook, Instagram. If you want, you can personal message me if you have any ideas for commissions. If you see something you like and you want to buy it, definitely message me. I'm always open. And I'm always looking for new and exciting challenges in the art world. So if anybody has any ideas that they want to come to fruition, throw it at me, because I'm down to do it.
And my last question to you before we wrap up is that, like, you are still new in the art game, but you have experience. Do you have any advice for future artists, like whether it be comedy or art or drawing? Like, it's such a spectrum of art. What would you suggest?
Have an I don't give a fuck attitude, but be respectful haters, yeah. About it. Be respectful about it. Be respectful to other artists, but also don't take shit.
Yeah.
So there you go, to the kids out there.
Olivia, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I hope you had a good time, and I'll see you later, okay?
Oh yeah, I had an awesome time.
All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Olivia Barker Byers. She's a fantastic artist, and I fully encourage you guys to check out her artwork via her social medias or her Facebook or Instagram or whatever she has going on. All that stuff will be in the bio of this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys are enjoying these episodes. I'm trying to pump them out as much as I can, but you know, sometimes shit doesn't work. So we're going to get to it and get back on the grind. And we're going to have another episode for you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Mr. Corbett. And well, thank you for listening to another episode of Hello, How Are You Today? And we'll see you guys down the line. Cheers.